Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Let's read verses 22 down to verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Verse 22 reads, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let's pray. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. Help us to live righteously and godly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We don't normally wear new clothes over old clothes. We would take off the old and replace them with the new. This involves putting off, taking off, and putting on. And this is the issue that the Apostle Paul is addressing here in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is encouraging these believers to walk not as other Gentiles walk. Note there in verse 17, "That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The apostle is referring to a lifestyle that typifies an individual that is living without a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's referring to the lifestyle of an unsaved individual. As it reads there, in verses 17, 18, and 19, walking in the vanity of their mind, their understanding darkened, aliens walking in blindness, living in lasciviousness, as it reads there in verse 19. Paul exhorts these believers to no longer live like as if you don't know God. We are to walk demonstrating our Christianity. And that's why Ephesians 4:1 reads that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So this section deals with putting off, removing permanently those marks or those traits of the old life. As it reads there in verse 22, "Put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, the lifestyle of living in accordance to the flesh. Remove permanently the marks, the traits of the old life, and put on," verse 24, "put on the new man." Note the contrast in verse 22, the old man, the sinful nature, the new man, which is defined in verse 24, created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting off the old, putting on the new. How is it possible? Verse 23 is the key. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." That's the key. The title of my sermon this morning is "A Biblically Balanced Diet." A biblically balanced diet. This process that Ephesians 4 is referring to is well illustrated in a well-balanced diet. There are lots of diets around, endeavoring, I trust, to help people to lose weight. I recall the cabbage soup diet. Yes. Shocker. Living off cabbage soup in order to lose weight. And there is the protein-only diet. And there are countless diets available today. But may I submit to you, being a professional dietitian, which I'm not, a diet plan worth considering will have three foundational elements, and they are based upon biblical principles. There is the element of restriction, either overtly or indirectly. A well-balanced diet will tell you this is what you are not to eat. Not that you don't know what you shouldn't be eating. So a well-balanced diet will instruct you to not to eat, put off. But also, a well-balanced diet will educate you. The problem with the cabbage soup diet, there was no real education encompassing that diet. It was a matter of living off cabbage soup for day in, day out. But a well-balanced diet will have an educational element. They will endeavor to renew your mind, to cause you to think differently, so you will eat the foods that are proposed in the diet, that of course will have nutritional value. And also, they will educate you on that which is kosher to eat when you are hungry, such as drinking a glass of water if you're feeling hungry, or eating a boiled egg when you're hungry. They will try to reprogram you. They will try to educate you. But also, finally, the diet will give you a menu plan, what to put on. They'll tell you what you should not be eating. And they will try to educate you, change your thinking to convince you, no, you don't need that Tim Tam. Though you are starving and you feel like you're about to die, why not drink a liter of water? That'll fill your little tummy up. So a well-balanced diet will lead you to eat the right foods and portions that will help you to be no doubt healthier, but also to lose weight. Now, a good diet should not be a prison sentence. Amen. It should be an educational process of removing wrong habits and developing healthy eating habits. But it seems that many are constantly struggling to lose weight with their diet simply because they are continuing to eat the no-no foods. They're ignoring the putting off. They continue to eat their sweets. They continue to eat their KFC and their McDonald's. And may I apply the fact that many of us, many Bible-believing Christians, are not in good shape spiritually, because we are continually feeding the flesh. As verse 19 reads, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. lasciviousness, gratification of the sinful nature, to work all uncleanness with greediness. See, many of God's people are not in good shape spiritually, because just like following a diet, they're following the diet as in what to eat, and they're agreeing with the education, but the problem is they're not putting off the old man. As opposed to putting off the removal of the old life, they are feeding the flesh. And beloved, you and I need to choose to say no to sin by yielding our lives fully to God. Because as it reads there in Romans chapter 6, please, quickly, Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, it reads, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And note verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." So the power of sin has been broken. You and I can choose to eat right spiritually, as opposed to continuing to eat that which we should not be consuming in a spiritual sense. Christian, what junk food are you still feeding off that is hindering your spiritual growth? People you are spending time with, possibly. What you are watching. What you are reading. What you are looking at on your phone and on your computer. The places you are going to. The electronic games that you are playing. Are you feeding your flesh spiritual junk food? See, as long as you and I continue to feed the flesh, we will struggle to grow in Christ's likeness. Because a biblically balanced diet involves you and I putting off. We stop feeding the flesh. We are renewed in the spirit of our minds by the Word of God. And we put on, we add to our life in obedience, via the medium of obedience, the Word of God. See, note there back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The word renewed means to renovate or to make new or to be transformed, to be changed. Change in the Spirit, or in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lasting change takes place first and foremost in your mind and in my mind. And as it reads there back in Romans, please, let's go back to Romans chapter 12 this time. Romans chapter 12. In verse number 2. It teaches, "Be not conformed or changed into the likeness, into the image of this worldly system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." From verse 24 back in Ephesians chapter 4, in putting on the new man, we are given specific portions of God's Word. Spiritually nutritional food for the soul. Spiritual food for the soul. that we need to consume in obedience to the Word of God. Just like a set diet, you can be educated on the why and what to eat and what not to eat, but you need to do it. You hear me? Need to do it. There are plenty of well-balanced diets out there. Not that I really know, but I'm assuming. But you need to do it. And you've got to remember there are three portions, three elements that are critical and are biblical. You've got to put off, you've got to change the thinking, and you've got to deliberately put on. You need to stop eating the junk, you need to reprogram your mind, and you need to put on, eat that which you should be eating that's going to aid well-being. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to renovate our minds. That's why it reads there in verse number 23, be renewed in the Spirit, literally by the power of the Spirit. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you and I need to have our minds renewed with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to change our thinking, to renew our minds, head office, the control panel of your life and of my life. So we will think differently, think biblically, just like in a regular diet. You know what it's like. You can get into the habit of thinking, well, I'm hungry. So that naturally equates to, I need some junk food. I need a block of chocolate. I need KFC or whatever it might be, or a piece of cake. But it doesn't have to mean that. It could mean I could eat an apple. I could have an orange. I could have a peanut butter sandwich. See? We need to be renewed in mind. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to renew our minds so we will think biblically. And if you and I are thinking biblically, God will grant us the power to live biblically. And that's why the Bible teaches us in verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. That you put on the new man. You fill your mind with the Word of God. And put on the new man, which is in reference to obedience to this Word that we are consuming. That the Spirit of God is helping to break down and give us understanding. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man is living right and living holy. One more time, please, go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, note then verse number 4. Romans 6, 4, it reads, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. This new man is living right and is living holy. And therefore, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, we note from verses 25 onwards what we are to put on. And of course, it reminds us of what we need to put off. Put off, renew the mind, with that word of God that we are filling into our hearts and lives. Note there in verse 25, we are to put on, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Honesty is the only policy. Putting away lying. Stop lying. The Apostle Paul was exhorting these believers here at Ephesus, stop it. Stop it. Stop lying. Put on honesty, truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? We are members one of another. We are to speak the truth. Especially for you and I that are in Christ, we are family, we are members one of another. We need to be honest one with another. Stop lying. Be honest. Honesty is the only policy. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind by putting on the new man, which is right and holy. And here in verse 25, it talks about honesty. Honesty is the only policy. Put off the old man, deception, lying, hypocrisy. Put on honesty. Speak the truth. And may I remind you that the Apostle Paul is addressing Christians. Talk to me. He's talking to Christians. Stop lying. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Then note then verse 26 and 27 it reads, we are not only to put on honesty, allow the word of God to renew our minds, the principle of speaking the truth, and therefore we are to speak the truth, but note here in verse 27, be angry and sin not. Note the clarity there in verse 26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath or wrath, neither give place to the devil. The essence of these verses is simply this. Settle your differences diligently. Settle your differences diligently. Be angry, or literally, you are, as you are getting angry, cap it. Cap it and deal with it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, before sun sets, deal with it. If there is something that is making you angry, don't leave it. Deal with it. Put on the new man. Settle differences diligently. Otherwise, note then verse 27, the Bible teaches us that we are giving place to who? The devil. Talk to me, we are giving place to who? The devil. When you and I fail to deal with our differences diligently, we are opening up the door for the devil to come on in. We are giving him a foothold on our life. He's talking to Christians. Oh, of course we know that the Bible teaches us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, the sons of God. But how is it that many of God's people, and there might be some of us that are here this morning, and you have an unresolved issue in your life? where there's a situation or there's a person that makes you angry. You just won't deal with it. And you're wondering why you're not growing spiritually. Let me tell you why you're not growing spiritually, because you are feeding the flesh. You're putting on the old man still with resentment or unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever it might be, or pride. No, no, put on the new man. Settle differences diligently, or you are giving the devil a foothold. And note then verse 28. So we are to put on honesty. We are to put on dealing with our differences diligently. Note verse 28, please, in Ephesians chapter 4. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We are to work to possess so we can minister to those in need. So some of these believers were struggling with telling the truth, according to verse 25. And according to verse 28, some of these believers were thieves. A Christian, a thief? Can't imagine that. He's talking to Christians. You thieves, stop stealing. Get out there and get a job. Work hard. Earn your keep. And that way you can have to give to those in need. Amen. Work to possess so you can minister to those in need. Family members and others. Put on the new man. Be willing to work, to earn, so you can have to give to others. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good or beneficial. To what end? Beneficial, good to the use of edifying, building up. To what end? That it may minister, serve grace unto the hearers. So put off the old man. Put off this corrupt communication. Put off stealing. Put off anger, not dealing with your issues. Put off lying. Put off this corrupt communication. The word corrupt means to rot, to decay. Guard your tongue against using destructive words, but instead put on, choose to use words that are uplifting. That which is good, that which is beneficial, that which builds up the hearer. So guard your tongue. Choose only words that uplift and build others up. So put off that rotting speech. Put on speech that builds others up. last time you had somebody say to you, I like to listen to you? I like talking to you. I like listening to what you've got to say. But we all know of individuals that really have an unclean tongue and are discouraging and have a habit of tearing down. That's the marks of the old life. Put on the new man. And a good principle to live by, beloved, is if you've got nothing to say that's worth saying, don't say it. If it's not going to build somebody up, don't say it. Keep it to yourself. Edifying speech. Put on. Note verse number 30, please, of Ephesians 4. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve here means to make sad, to sadden. Don't sadden the Holy Spirit. Whereby, note verse 30, ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When a man, woman, or child receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, that individual is not only born again by the Spirit of God, we are born again by His Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We become the dwelling place of God. And the Bible teaches us that we should not live a life that is saddening the Spirit of God that lives within. With corrupt communication or stealing or unresolved conflicts or lying, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then note then verse number 31. So we are to put on, we are to put off. And here in verse 31, there are six vices that we are to put off that are hindering spiritual growth. Let all, let's say it together, bitterness, bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is sourness. It is the result of unforgiveness. Bitterness. Put off bitterness. And then verse 31 goes on to read, and wrath. This is in reference to outbursts of anger. An outburst of anger. Having an anger tantrum, I guess. But then it clarifies there in verse 31 by making reference to anger itself, this inner anger. And I find this amongst many of God's people. We're not ones that go ballistic outwardly, but we are full of anger within. We need to put off that anger. Put off that wrath. Put off that bitterness. But Pastor, I can't help it. Yes, you can. In the power of the Spirit of God, you and I can yield to the Spirit and live a righteous, holy life. The reason why you can't is because you won't. If you are genuinely born again, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, you can put off bitterness and wrath and anger. And note the next one, clamor. Shouting. connection to anger. And then it goes on to say evil speaking, to slander, to tear people down. It's from this root word we get the word to blaspheme. To slander somebody, to speak evil of somebody is to blaspheme, to slander. Be put away from you. With all malice. Malice in reference to anything that is planned to hurt or harm somebody in some way. Put off! May I remind you, he's talking to Christians. We have the same sinful flesh. It's not eradicated at salvation. There is this battle between the flesh and the spirit, and that's why it's so important that you and I understand that we have a new master in Jesus Christ. The power of sin's been broken, and we need to put off the old habits. Be renewed in the spirit of our minds with the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then obey that Word of truth that God reveals to us. That renews our mind. Obey it. Put away. So verse 31 is a little intermission. We're reminded once again that we need to put off, put on, put off, put on. And then he concludes in verse 32 by putting on again. Look at verse 32, please. Be kind. Literally, the word means to fit. Fit to a need. So being kind involves helping someone that is struggling in some way. Put on kindness. Now, we would automatically think that all Christians are kind. It's natural, we're Christians. Be kind. And be ye kind. Be kind by helping an individual struggling to carry a weight of some sort. Be kind by allowing a car to enter into your lane. Don't be like a Victorian or a Queenslander. Be New South Wales. Let somebody in. In fact, go the extra mile. I like to go the extra mile. I like to allow two in. Because Jesus said going the extra mile, so I like to allow two. It's acceptable here in New South Wales to allow one vehicle. Be a Christian. Be kind. Allow two. And ignore that beep behind you for some selfish, greedy, unkind person behind you that is basically saying to you, you're too kind. You can never be too kind. Amen. Verse 32 goes on to read, tender-hearted, compassionate, communicating empathy, sympathy towards others, tender-hearted, soft-hearted. And then note then verse 32, forgiving one another. Let's say it together, forgiving one another. One more time, forgiving one another. Remember, he's talking to Christians. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We are forgiven, therefore we have the power to forgive, and we have a responsibility to forgive those that have wronged us. All of us have been wronged. Even as Christians, we are wronged. We've all been wronged by other Christians. Now, some of us might find that hard to believe. You've yet to experience that. But as we say around here, keep your seatbelt on, hold on to your ticket, it'll happen to you. Forgive. Put off unforgiveness. Forgive, let it go. Why? Because we in Christ are forgiven. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, my friend. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And he offers forgiveness for all mankind. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he meant that fully, wholeheartedly. And my friend, it still stands today that you and I can enjoy that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And if you are struggling to forgive, it could well be because you've yet to experience the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. Because if you've experienced the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, you have the power to forgive. And you have the responsibility to forgive. Put on. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand how much I've been hurt. Well, do we really understand how much the Lord Jesus was hurt? Yet he cried out, Father, forgive them. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Put off, put on the renewing of the mind. In putting off lasciviousness, as it's mentioned there in verse 19, giving themselves over to lasciviousness, which means the gratification of the flesh, fulfilling our greedy nature, an unclean greedy nature, put off the former conversation of the old man, but put on the new man. So in putting off that which feeds the flesh, we are to fill our lives with the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit will use to renew our minds and give us the power to do, to put on what is clearly commanded, that which is right and holy before God. You won't progress in your diet if you just stop eating junk. You'll need to Fill it with good food. Put off, put on. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. My friend, this morning, does your life bear the marks of a Christian or a non-Christian? So that's what he's addressing there in verse 17. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. These believers predominantly there in that church at Ephesus were Gentile believers. But they're saved Gentiles. So walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't conduct your life as if you're an unsaved Gentile. Does your life, does my life bear the marks of a Christian? On Wednesday night I shared out of the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 17 where the Apostle Paul said, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. Galatians 6:17, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus, said the Apostle Paul. And within the biblical setting, slaves were branded. Slaves were branded in a particular mark that identified them to a master. And the Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. My branding identifies me as a servant of Jesus Christ. What about you? Put off, put on. Why is it that some people seem to be always on a diet? And I'm not picking on anybody. Always on a diet, trying this and trying that to no avail. I know exactly what the problem is. It's a biblical problem. Obviously not putting off. Obviously not being educated. And obviously not putting on. And that's why many of us, we stagnate in our spiritual life. Yes, we're putting on, but the problem is we're not putting off. Some of you have not moved forward spiritually. I thank God you're still here. But I'm not seeing in many of us extraordinary growth. And what that tells me is, yes, you're putting on, but you're failing to put off. And have your mind renewed with the Word of God and putting on by putting off. While you put on the new man, you put off the old man. A biblically balanced diet. That's what we need. Put off that which feeds the flesh. What do you need to put off? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Fill your mind with the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit renew your thinking so that you will think biblically. Yes, that's right, Lord. McDonald's for lunch, 5 days a week, that's not good. Not a good habit. I see it now, Lord. And allow the Word of God to change your mind in the power of the Spirit and help you and I to think biblically, and as God reveals from the Scriptures, this is what you are to put on. Put on honesty. Put on dealing with your issues diligently. speech that builds up. Put off speech that corrupts. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put off bitterness. Put off wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Put on kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness. And if we will do so, we will reflect a life of righteousness and true holiness, as it reads there in verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.